Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
A little bit of Live and Let Die by Paul McCartney and Wings. That very 70s song is featured in the movie American Hustle, which takes place in 1978. Here's the actor, Jeremy Renner, playing Mayor Carmine Polito in the film.
This guy, Irvin Rosenfeld, you know what he's going to do? He's going to bring the Sheik to Atlantic City. That's what he's going to do. Where we can rebuild all those resorts there, put everybody back to work. He's going to get this community, he's going to get this state back on its feet to where it belongs. Isn't that right? He's going to grow our tax base and create thousands and thousands of jobs for everyone.
So that is Jeremy Renner in American Hustle, which has been nominated for 10 Academy Awards. And as we said, Renner plays Mayor Carmine Polito, who's a sympathetic politician trying to do right by his constituents in Camden. That character is based off of Mayor Angelo Arricchetti, the real-life former mayor of Camden, who was convicted of bribery in the Abscam sting in 1981. How closely does the character of Carmine Polito represent the actual Mayor Arricchetti? And what's more, does the movie American Hustle live up to the praise it's been getting? Joining me now are Dana Stevens, Slate's film critic and co-host of Slate's Culture Gabfest podcast, and Kevin Reardon, Philadelphia Inquirer columnist and a reporter for the Courier-Post in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, when the Abscam scandal broke. Hi, Dana, and welcome to WNYC. Kevin.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, it's great to be here.
And before we even get into American Hustle, Dana, I want to get a few thoughts from you on the passing of Philip Seymour Hoffman. It's really one of those shocking deaths of a giant in his prime, isn't it?
It really is. It's, I mean, to the point that I don't really know what there is to say. It's such a huge loss, both for cinema and for theater, which he was deeply involved with in New York and in other places, that it seems too early to process that he's gone yet.
Anything you would say just at the level of film was his legacy other than individual roles?
Well, I mean, he was so an artist at the height of his powers that it seems too soon to talk about a legacy somehow. But I think the remarkable through line that you see in his roles, and I've been thinking and reading and watching clips about him, you know, ever since hearing the news, is that he was not a leading man, and yet he sort of radiated star power in every movie he was ever in. You know, I mean, I guess you could call him a character actor, but he just seemed to become the center of any film he was in, and you see that in these early tiny roles, in supporting roles, where, you know, he just kind of brought this radiance to his roles on screen.
And he was leading enough that he won Best Actor for Capote. Was that your favorite role for him?
I don't think so. I mean, I would love to go back and revisit Capote now, but I remember feeling like, well, it's about time Philip Seymour Hoffman got an Oscar when he got that Oscar for Capote, so there must have been things that I had already loved him in just as much before that, and it seemed like he had so much, you know, recognition and artistic growth ahead of him. Also, he was just someone who was so high-functioning and that we perceived as so successful and powerful. It's just so strange to suddenly, you know, have to imagine him as an addict. It's very hard.
And listeners, if you want to post your remembrances of being a fan of Philip Seymour Hoffman as an actor, or maybe if some of you knew him, as you know, Mayor de Blasio was on earlier saying he was a quintessential New Yorker and of course lived in the West Village. So if you want to post to our comments page any thoughts about Philip Seymour Hoffman today, his professional life, or some of the issues raised by perhaps how he died. I don't really know how he died, but it seems that he probably died of a drug overdose. So anything you want to say remembering Philip Seymour Hoffman, go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehr Show. Kevin, the film American Hustle opens with a title stating, "Some of this actually happened." You were covering Camden for the Courier-Post during the Abscam scandal. How much of it actually happened?
Well, I think the part of it that struck me as especially true was the portrayal by Jeremy Renner of Mayor Arricchetti. There was an essential sort of can-do quality about Arricchetti. He had grown up in Camden when he was a football hero at Camden High School. The city was at the peak of its size and economic power. And 30 years later, when he was the mayor, it was disintegrating. And I think he really did believe that he could galvanize the renewal of the city. And while he was in office before Abscam, he had fought very hard to have the Census Bureau revise its figures so that the city's population would be officially above 100,000. He also fought to get a VA hospital built downtown. And in fact, when the Carter administration said no, as far as Arachetti was concerned, later on, he felt that Jimmy Carter had it in for him, and that was why, or one of the reasons why Abscam came about.
And the idea here seems to be that there almost, or one idea is that there might even be a kind of good corruption, because as we heard suggested in that clip, whatever it was that, you know, that they were talking about, he actually thought it was going to be good for Camden, good for New Jersey. Is there such a thing as good corruption, or is that raised by the film as at least a question around which there can be some ambiguity?
Well, I think good corruption might be much more entertaining on film than in reality. You know, American Hustle is a terrific movie, and I thought, again, all of the performances are terrific, but the Renner take on Arachetti really nailed something essential, which was absolutely he believed that in this arrangement that unfolds on film and that it unfolded, you know, on those video, those black and white surveillance tapes that showed him taking cash, and, you know, he wasn't in a bank line, you know, withdrawing it from his own account. He was taking a bribe. Nonetheless, that as part of that, he felt that was part of a process that in the end would create jobs and mean urban renewal and all this terrific stuff. But it's still corruption.
Dana, you wrote that the film lies somewhere on the spectrum between a raunchy All the President's Men and an emo Goodfellas. What do you mean?
David O. Russell, the writer, the co-writer, and the director, you know, he's obviously citing a lot of those movies. There's Martin Scorsese in his approach to this, you know, this big sprawling epic gangster crime story, and there's all kinds of other cinematic influences in there too. I do think he makes it his own thing. I don't think this is a perfect movie. I probably would be a little bit disappointed if it got the Best Picture Oscar because I think there's better movies on the slate. But it manages to make this huge sprawling story into a tremendous amount of fun.
And there are some people who see the kind of, what's the word, almost like, you know, a backslapping buddy movie tone in some of it as kind of over the top, considering what the content is. Did you find that the credibility of the film as something that was supposed to depict history was hurt by that?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I see those critiques, even though I like the movie enough to enjoy it in spite of them. I don't think it succeeds at its best as a certainly not as a political allegory or any kind of, you know, portrayal of how Abscam actually happened. It's all about the relationships and the clothes and the music and the fun and the performances, which, you know, could easily be seen as a glitzy, shallow kind of film. But I mean, I think some of Martin Scorsese's gangster movies also take a similar pleasure in the wrongdoing of their characters. It's not as if David O. Russell invented, you know, the glitzy mafia film.
Kevin, as someone who
also,
go ahead,
it also conveys a certain, it's almost like an intoxicating atmosphere. You know, I mean, and again, returning to the Arachetti character, you can get a sense of this sort of overwhelming possibility that seemed, you know, within his grasp as the mayor and also as a state senator from New Jersey. You know, you had these exotic individuals who had all this money that they suddenly were going to, you know, start spending in New Jersey. And I think what the film does convey, and I remember the late 70s, you know, there was this sort of this fake or this very superficial kind of glitz on a lot of things, but it manages to really make you believe that they could believe this.
Dana, the film flips who the good guys and bad guys should be in that respect. The FBI agent who runs the sting is someone whose failure we actually revel in as an audience, and the con artist and allegedly corrupt politician are incredibly sympathetic.
Right, absolutely. I mean, I was thinking when Kevin was talking about, you know, the real-life story of Arachetti, that the Carmine Polito character, Jeremy Renner's character, the corrupt mayor, is the closest thing to a noble character there is in the movie. He's not out for himself. Unlike all these grifters and liars and scammers that are orbiting around him, he is actually very community-minded, and that comes across in every scene. I was also wanted to ask Kevin whether the portrayal of the Christian Bale character's friendship with the mayor was exaggerated from real life, or was it really true that they had a close personal relationship that was betrayed?
My sense is no. A lot of folks who knew Arachetti then felt as if the actual con artist, Weinberg, had, you know, overwhelmed Arachetti, that Arachetti liked very much to be seen as a tough guy, to be perceived as a player, et cetera, but that he was, in reality, completely out of his depth. I'm not so sure. He seemed pretty comfortable in some ways, not necessarily on the surveillance films, but there is a sense among some members of his administration at the time that he was taken in, and he even said, as the closest thing he came to actually apologizing, was that his ego, Arachetti said this at the time, his ego had gotten the better of him. So I think he wanted to be seen as playing with these big shots, you know, and that what made it even better, as you've pointed out, was the possibility that there was going to be all of this economic development and all of this job creation for everybody.
Kevin, it's been 35 years since Abscam, but the headlines coming out of New Jersey are still so frequently scandalous. Sometimes similar styles of corruption. We don't know yet all of what Bridgegate is or what may have gone on in Hoboken that has to do with developers and at least power politics, if not corruption in the exact sense of what was in that film. How much has New Jersey politics changed in the past 30-plus years, and did the existence of Bridgegate as this movie was coming out color it all for you, how you watched it?
Well, I did not grow up in New Jersey, but I've lived here for a long time, and so I wince, you know, when the latest Jersey caricature goes out there, particularly when it has some basis in reality. If someone's going to make a movie about Bridgegate, I can't imagine it being as entertaining as American Hustle. But at the same time, I would say that the corruption as something inherent to New Jersey politics, that meme, if you will, I find it tiresome, but at the same time, it hits home.
Dana, I can't imagine a movie about Bridgegate someday not being highly entertaining. Maybe
I can
as
see David O. Russell directing it. And actually, in a sad coda to our previous conversation, I could see Philip Seymour Hoffman playing Chris Christie incredibly.
Yeah, maybe it'll be a mockumentary when that movie is made someday or who knows what. Dana, did you like Robert De Niro's cameo as the gangster Meyer Lansky? Dana?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were addressing that one to Kevin. Oh, yeah, I really did. I think when he works with David O. Russell, when De Niro works with David O. Russell, he really doesn't phone it in, which he's been known to do in some of his more recent blockbuster comedies and things. I thought he really brought it. He only got one scene. I wish he'd had a little bit more time on screen, but De Niro was great.
And you said you hope this doesn't win Best Picture because there are some other better ones out there. What would your pick be?
You know, I don't know. I think Nebraska would be my pick, and I don't think it stands much of a chance. But as far as just its sort of perfection overall, the ensemble cast and the beautiful cinematography, and I think Nebraska was one of my favorite movies of the year.
Is it because it's such a painful, sometimes difficult movie to watch, so serious that you think it won't win?
The wrong tone. I mean, it's not only painful, it's also funny. It has a lot of great, funny dialogue, but I just think it's not Oscar-y enough. I don't know. I think American Hustle has a little bit more of that crowd-pleasing bounce to it.
All right. So there you go, folks. Our latest context and a movie, this time about the film American Hustle with Dana Stevens, Slate's film critic and co-host of Slate's Culture Gab Fest podcast, which we also air a version of here on WNYC on the weekends, and Kevin Reardon, Philadelphia Inquirer columnist and a reporter for the Courier-Post in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, when the Abscam scandal broke. Thank you both. And Dana, thanks a lot for giving us some thoughts on Philip Seymour Hoffman, too.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.